Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. Ohio State has won the national championship. What a interesting, chaotic game last night where Notre Dame threw the first punch. It was slow. It was methodical, but very effective. And then Ohio State quickly countered back and was just hammering Notre Dame over and over and over again until Notre Dame said, all right, let's make this a game. And they got it down to 8. And on 3rd and 11, Ryan Day, Chip Kelly said, we're dialing up a long pass. We're going to throw the football. We're going to chuck the ball down that right sideline to Jeremiah Smith. And that was all she wrote in that national championship game. The big story from this one, and I think how you'll remember this, you know, if you look at plays, like I said, Jack Sawyer and that strip sack up against Texas for the touchdown, Jeremiah Smith last night, those are the two iconic plays. The Sawyer touchdown in the semifinal, then the Smith catch to secure the national championship. But really, I think you will remember this run of the story of you lose to Michigan, you get embarrassed, then the Ryan Day redemption tour where you slay and just completely annihilate Tennessee. You thought they annihilated Tennessee. Then whatever the next step is, that's what they did up against Oregon. Then you win Texas, up against Texas, then you beat Notre Dame last night. So congratulations to the Buckeyes. We'll do more Ohio State football talk coming up later, and also college football talk as well. Bobby Carpenter is going to join us, the former Ohio State linebacker, played for the Dallas Cowboys as well, hosts a daily talk show at 97.1 The Fan in Columbus, and he's also on Sirius. He's going to stop by 58 minutes from now at the top of the hour at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time. But without further ado, and I'm not talking about Freddie Adu, we do this every Tuesday in the NFL season. We got to get to a little overreaction, proper reaction. Stu Pock, Stuart Kovacs, give me my theme music.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Help! 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 Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All righty, Stuart, what do you got cooking for me?
All right, Zach. So 2 years ago, one of the hottest assistant coaching names was Bengals defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo. However, after the defense finished 25th and 26th in the league, respectively, in yards and points per game, the team moved on from Anarumo. Yesterday, the Colts swooped in and quickly scooped him up as their new defensive coordinator, and even the Kelce brothers came to his defense.
I don't know what the f*** is going on over there. That was a wild, wild move I did not see coming, because I thought that, you know, from the outside, their defense was playing really good towards the end of the year.
I don't think they had the horses on defense that they've had in the past, and Lou got handcuffed. I don't know that it made sense. He's proven how good of a D coordinator he is with good players, but whatever.
I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. I've always respected the hell out of him.
So overreaction or proper reaction, Anarumo is mostly the blame for the Bengals' defensive struggles this year.
And Anarumo has done a really good job with those defensive game plans up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, they did not have a good year defensively, but I could see why Travis Kelce said what he said, because that was a very close game when they did go up against Cincinnati Bengals, and they have been the one team that has consistently been able to frustrate Patrick Mahomes, even though Mahomes can still find a way to win games. I'm going to go overreaction here when you say Anarumo is mostly the blame for the Bengals' defensive struggles this year. I think Travis and Jason are right. They just didn't have the proper horses. And you look at someone like Jesse Bates, who I know he's now been 2 years in Atlanta. I thought that was a big underrated loss for the Cincinnati Bengals. And Hendrickson's still there. He's phenomenal. But the rest of that defense, there's not a lot of memorable players on it outside of Trey Hendrickson. And I think this is just also what happens when you got to pay the quarterback how much you pay him. You know that eventually Ja'Marr Chase is going to get his. We're going to see what happens with T. Higgins. Like, there's been so much attention on will you pay other players, even before you actually pay those players, now you're paying Joe Burrow, that other guys say, okay, well, I'm not going to get taken care of here, so I'm going to go elsewhere. Like, look back at Green Bay. Why did Davante Adams leave Green Bay? Because he let his feelings get in the way, right? He was looking, it was all Aaron Rodgers this, Aaron Rodgers that. Here's the Aaron Rodgers contract. Here's the Aaron Rodgers contract. And it got Davante Adams feeling some type of way. And eventually, he ironically left more money on the table in Green Bay than what he got with the Raiders. But it was taken forever for that offer to come on in. And there's only so many mouths that you could feed. And I just don't think when you look at the Bengals defense that you're blown away by their talent. And also, you know, this was a disappointing season for them. They missed the playoffs. So when you miss the playoffs again and you have Joe Burrow as your quarterback, and this has been a team that has had Super Bowl expectations after getting to the Super Bowl a few years ago and losing by a slight margin to the LA Rams, someone's going to be on the chopping block and someone's going to be held accountable. And Zach Taylor, it's not his time yet, so it was Lou Anarumo, and now he lands with the Indianapolis Colts, which, let's be real, I don't know how much stability there is with that franchise. Well, maybe there is. Because, like, Chris Ballard, and he may have pictures of Jim Irsay. I won't put that past Jim Irsay to have pictures for someone to have. But, geez, how Ballard's back and Steichen walks into this year on the hot seat. It wouldn't surprise me if this is one and done in INDY if things don't go the Indianapolis Colts way this year. But Anarumo, that's so tough to say. Anarumo is mostly the blame for the Bengals' defensive struggles this year. I am going overreaction.
So speaking of Travis Kelce, the future Hall of Famer had a breakout game against the Texans, hauling in 7 catches for 117 yards and a touchdown after his worst regular season in years. Now yesterday, Andy Reid explained that his big game was not just about Kelce flipping a switch in the postseason.
I don't think it's his play that has been reduced. Everybody asks about age, by age or physical ability or anything. I just think that you've got a variety of guys that we've been able to use around him. And when we didn't, then teams were ganging up on him. So it's a good problem now because guys are healthy and we've got choices out there and they can't really just focus on him.
So overreaction or proper reaction, Kelce's success last week is more about Casey having more weapons than him just turning into clutch Kelce.
So I'm going to say that is a overreaction. Here's why. When you're a player at that position of the caliber of Travis Kelce, having a great regular season, I don't want to say is irrelevant, but you know why you're still playing this game. It's to, and you don't know how many more reps you have left in your body. It's to go off in the postseason. And it's kind of crazy how short of a memory people have. Does anyone remember last year the same exact thing happened? It's like crazy that now people are like, oh, this is what Kelce does in the playoffs. You know, we've never seen this before. Hello? Now I sound like Herm Edwards. Yeah, you did. You saw it last year. Last year we were talking about, oh, is he too distracted with Taylor Swift? Some dopes were saying that. Oh, is his body slowing down? Oh, is he way past his prime? When you have won at that rate and you are in the making of a dynasty last year, The regular season games, you know you could be at a B level and still win most of them against most of the teams in the league. And you just got to turn up in the post. You saw with Gronk, too. With how many injuries Gronk suffered, you know, towards the end of Gronk's career, he wasn't at his best in the regular season. But then you see vintage Gronk in the playoffs. And now you've seen vintage Kelce in the playoffs. So I do think from that mentality standpoint, it's absolutely just he knows, I don't know how many more runs I have at this and how many opportunities I'm going to have on the football field. So he goes to a different level. That's when you go all out in the postseason. So Kelce's success last week is more about Casey having more weapons than him turning into clutch Kelce. I'm going to say that's an overreaction.
All right, with two coaching vacancies filled, it appears that the Jets are narrowing their search and focusing on their former corner and current Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn. While Glenn had a great year, the defense struggled big time down the stretch, and especially in last week's loss, though many point to injuries rather than Glenn himself. Overreaction or prop reaction, the terrible defensive performance last week would give you pause in hiring Aaron Glenn.
So Samter was being a good radio producer over the weekend, but it pissed me off. It really did. You know, I'm sitting there. I'm watching the game. It was Saturday night, right? That game was. I'm watching the game with a buddy. May have been having a few drinks. And I'm just getting slack after slack after slack from Samter. And, you know, I love it, right? Dedicated to the show. You're trying to create content, create, you know, conversation. And I'm sitting there, and I'm having a nice little IPA, you know, one, two, three, four, then you hit the floor. And I'm thinking to myself, can Santa just shut the bleep up? Because he goes, do you think this Lions performance is going to cost Aaron Glenn a job? And I go, if you're going to hire Aaron Glenn to be a head coach, and don't get me wrong, the defense didn't play well. They were also severely undermanned with all the injuries. They were decimated with injuries. And not only that, yeah, they had the 12 men on the field. That was a blunder. But it's not like Darrell Bevell, I believe it was, and Pete Carroll with their play call at the one-yard line in the Super Bowl, not giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch. Like, it's the totality of the resume. Every coach is going to make a mistake. For most of the season, right, Aaron Glenn, we thought, oh, he's going to get a head coaching job. Heck, a few weeks ago, everyone was praising him out of the wazoo when they shut down the Minnesota Vikings, and they have, like, not that many healthy. I think it's easier to say who is hurt for the Detroit Lions rather than who's playing. Like, it's crazy how many guys are injured. So it finally caught up to them. But does one moment, 9.9 times out of 10, does that cost someone a job? Absolutely not. So I understand why Samter was saying it. But in the moment, when Samter sometimes asks a question, I just assume that's him giving his take, which maybe it is, maybe it isn't, I don't know. But I'm sitting back there after having a few IPAs, and I'm just like, does anyone now think Aaron Glenn is not going to get a job because his team didn't perform well in the postseason? I don't think so. So when you ask me, their terrible defensive performance last weekend would give you pause in hiring Glenn? Nope. I would say that's an overreaction. You got to look at the totality of the resume, and I think he's deserving of being a head coach. Now, will he be a good head coach? That I don't know. How many times does a good coordinator turn out to be a head coach? You know, it usually isn't the case rather than it is the case. Next question.
Cooper Kupp, he had the second most receiving yards in a season back in 2021, winning the Super Bowl MVP that season as well. However, after some bad injuries and the emergence of Puka Nacua, Kupp has not hit the 1,000-yard mark since. He's now 31 years old and has 2 years left on his deal, but could be an offseason casualty that would save the Rams millions. Yesterday, Kupp discussed his future with the team.
Who knows what's going to happen? A lot of stuff's out of my control. You know, we'll see what it's going to be. There was obviously stuff that was going on, like you said, early on in the season, and we'll see. I don't have any clarity on what that's going to look like or anything like that. So, yeah, obviously we'd love to be in L.A., but I don't know, you know, what that's going to look like.
But you want to play last one, guys.
Do I want to play next year? Oh, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind. I want to play football. I feel like I've got a lot of good football left in me. So, no, I definitely will be playing. I will be playing football next year. So, that much I know.
So, overreaction or proper reaction, when healthy, Cooper Kupp is still a number one receiver in the NFL.
He's not elite. Like, I don't think you look at him and say he's Justin Jefferson. He's Jamar Chase, right? But is he still a number one wide receiver? Yeah. Yeah, he is. His problem, it's not his production when he's on the field. It's can he still be healthy and get on the field? But when healthy, the way that you asked it, Kupp is still a number one wide receiver in the NFL. I would lead more prop reaction. Is he as great as he once was? No. But that's still better than the majority of the wide receivers in the NFL. All right, final one. Let's go.
All right, as we discussed yesterday, the Bears hired Ben Johnson as their next head coach to pair him with Caleb Williams. The former number one overall pick struggled this year, but still threw for 3,500 yards, 20 touchdowns to just three picks, while adding another 500 yards rushing. Overreaction or proper reaction, Johnson will turn Caleb Williams into a Pro Bowler next season.
You could probably do it, Stu, just because like you have an idea of who the Pro Bowl quarterbacks are. I think it's three. I have no clue who made the Pro Bowl in the AFC or the NFC. It's like a flag football game now or like challenges, whatever it is. Stupid. If you had to take a guess, the three Pro Bowl quarterbacks in the NFC this year, who do you think they are?
Oh, boy. Sam Darnold?
Give me your three guesses.
Okay, I'll say it's Sam Darnold, Jaden Daniels, and Jared Goff.
Yeah, I would just wonder. I don't know what the answer is. I wonder if Baker Mayfield is on there.
Ooh, that's a good one.
All right, let's see. AFC. Nope. Let's go to the NFC. The NFC quarterbacks. Stu.
Did I nail it?
You said Jared Goff, correct?
I did.
You said Jaden Daniels, correct?
I did.
You said Sam Darnold, correct?
I did.
Yeah. So.
Total guess, though.
Out of 1 to 10, where's your confidence that Jared Goff is definitely a Pro Bowl quarterback next year?
You mean Caleb Williams?
No. Jared Goff.
Jared Goff next year? Like a 3.
Okay. Even if you want to go a little bit higher, I'm not saying that it's a lock, right?
No, definitely not a lock.
Jaden Daniels.
I'd be pretty high on that. I'd say like an 8.
Now, could he end up having a sophomore slump? Like
of
it's
course.
Not out of the realm of possibilities, but I think right now Jaden Daniels, he is a stone cold killer. That's what he is. He's the guy on third and fourth down. It doesn't matter. He's not all in your face. He just makes the play. So I would lean more. He probably is a Pro Bowler, but it's not impossible to say that he won't be. Sam Darnold, do you think he's a Pro Bowler next year?
I'd say no. That'd be like a 1.5 for me.
All right. So there's three Pro Bowl quarterbacks. And you could still make the Pro Bowl also if a bunch of guys say no.
Right.
So, but like I think this to have some integrity with this question is will Caleb Williams be one of the first three guys selected?
Right.
Here? So there's two spots in your opinion that will be open if you're going to reserve one spot for Jaden Daniels. So who's in the running? Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. My first thought was Jalen Hurts back in the mix there.
Dak Prescott healthy.
Right.
You know Matthew Stafford still kicking it if he continues to play. You know, does Brock Purdy have a redemption season? Jordan Love? Baker Mayfield? Does Michael Penix Jr. break out? You know, I don't think it's crazy for Caleb Williams to be a Pro Bowler next year. Now, with that being said, Johnson will turn Caleb Williams into a Pro Bowler next year. I'm going to go over reaction because that means I'm expecting the Bears to do something really successful. And I took the bait on the Bears last offseason. So when you fool me once, I'm not going to get fooled by you again until you show me that you belong. Will they be improved? They better be improved. Like if Caleb Williams doesn't have 4,000 passing yards next year, and if the Bears don't have more than 5 wins next year, which they had 5 right now, then Caleb Williams had to get hurt. Or Ben Johnson is one of the biggest frauds in NFL history. Like one or the other have to be true on that statement if it is. But I think that Caleb Williams can improve and the Bears can improve, and it still may not be at a Pro Bowl level. But until I see it, I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, it's definitely going to happen. So I will go overreaction there. Johnson will turn Caleb Williams into a Pro Bowler next year. All righty, we will take a timeout. When we do come on back, we're going to get back into the college football world. Stu's going to give me a college football team, and I'm going to give you a little look back at their season. How do you kind of think about them going into next year in three words or less when we come on back in less than 5 minutes?
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat. A place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. The college football season is over. You know, it's wild how quickly the college football season just moves. Like, it felt like it was just yesterday. I was in Houston for the national championship game for Michigan when they beat Kalen DeBoer's Washington team. And then think about what immediately happened after that. All right, you had Belichick out, Pete Carroll fired, Nick Saban retired. That was one of the more chaotic sequences that I could recall, really, in the history of doing shows right here at the network. That was a wild little stretch. It was really crazy. You know, I think it was, if memory serves me right, I believe it was Pete Carroll who got let go, and that was like the first hour of the show. And then Santa's like, "We got major breaking news." And I'm like, "What could it be?" And I was like, "Nick Saban retired." And then that was the next 2 hours of that. So that was just absolutely mayhem. Just completely mayhem. So anyway, college football season ends last night. Ohio State wins it all. We talk college football pretty much all throughout the year anyway, especially now with the transfer portal and NIL. Like, it's become a 365, or not completely 365 day year sport, but, you know, I would say pretty much 300 days out of the 65 days you would usually anticipate there being a college football segment on the show. And I know we're not on every day, but you get the point. But anyway, with the season coming to a close, let's look back at certain teams and how we think about them moving forward. Stu will give me the team, and I'll give you my answer in three words or less. I'll just give you the three words or less and then give you a little explanation, obviously, off the three words. What do we got, Stu?
All right, Zach. So let's go with the first team here. What about the Florida State Seminoles?
Norvell's future. So I actually ran into Mike Norvell at the division round game for the Rams and the Eagles. He was there seeing some of his former Florida State players and also even Memphis players too. But Mike Norvell a year ago, right, restored Florida State. Had two really good years at Florida State. The committee, right, you could say screwed them over, right? They got the bad draw because of the quarterback injury. And then this year, it was just a disaster. Like, there are disasters, and then there's what happened to Florida State. Like, I didn't think they were going to win the ACC going into the season, but I didn't think they would be a team that only would have won a few games or even been close to contending for a bowl game. So now, even though he got extended last year, right, there was thought, so maybe he would replace Nick Saban. They give him the extension, and it cost a lot to buy him out. You have another stinker of a year. All that good work that you did for 2 years goes completely out the window, and then people start saying, hey, you got to be out of a job. You saw some people say that he needed to get fired after this year. I thought that was unfair because he had two really good seasons, a horrible year this year. Now you got to try to win people back over, and we'll see if he could do that. But Florida State, it's all about Norvell's future.
All right, what about the team that before yesterday was the defending national champions and that, of course, is the Michigan Wolverines?
A legit quarterback? Bryce Underwood they got? Now, I don't know if he's going to start right away, but whatever they had this year from Davis Warren to Orgy just was terrible. It was offensive to the quarterback position. Really offensive. And that defense, now they lose a lot of people. And I know Will Johnson was in that lineup, but with Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham, that defense was unbelievable, especially up against Ohio State and then also some of the other games that they've been able to have, the Alabama game too. But on offense, outside of Kalel Mullings, that offense was really, really, really bad this year because they didn't have a quarterback. So now with the money they spent on Bryce Underwood, and whenever we do get to see him, you would think they would have a legit quarterback.
All right, what about a team with the new head coach this past season, the Alabama Crimson Tide?
In the balance. So that has many different definitions in the way that I'm using it. Like, in the balance, there's a lot of uncertainty right now with Alabama. You go from being the kings of the college football world, the dynastic Alabama, to this year. Like, look back at where Alabama was after they beat Georgia. If I were to tell you after that game up against Georgia, when they beat Georgia, that Kalen DeBoer and also the quarterback, Jalen Milroe, wouldn't be in the college football playoff, you would have never believed me. I had a tweet back in September, like, welcome to Coach of the Year conversation for Kalen DeBoer, and welcome to the Heisman Trophy conversation for Jalen Milroe. And then, poof, the next week they lose to Vanderbilt. And then they also lost to Oklahoma later in the season. And they lost to Tennessee in a game where the quarterback just absolutely screwed them in the first half. So there's a lot of uncertainty around the Alabama program. And if they would have missed the playoff this year in a 4-team format, I don't think people are crushing them. But when you miss it in a 12-team format, that's just inexcusable. So they have to make the playoff next year. And even though I believe in Kalen DeBoer a lot, there's a lot of questions around the Alabama program. And also, they got to find some balance too. Like I say, in the balance, they also got to find some balance as well. Because there would be games where Jalen Milroe would look like a Heisman contending quarterback. And then he would hit the floor. And I know he won't be back at Alabama. And it was just crazy, the discrepancy from the ceiling to the floor for Jalen Milroe. And also, there would be games the defense would play really well and the offense would suck. Then the offense would play really well and the defense would suck. You got to find a way to have more complementary football and be a more balanced team. So that's kind of my thought on Alabama right now.
All right, what about the team that many around the country thought was the best team heading into the season, and that is Georgia?
Back on top. If this is going to be the next Alabama, you got to get back on top. Because last year, you had a team that was undefeated, then they lost to the SEC championship game, and they were out of a 4-team playoff format. This year, even though they stubbed their toes a few times, they still got back up. They were in the SEC championship game, and then in the opening rounds of the playoff coming off the bye, right, their first playoff game, they lose to Notre Dame. You know, Georgia's a heck of a program. We all know that. People love to have the success that they've already had, but if they want to be that next dynasty, if they want to be that next Alabama, then you got to go win the championship next year.
All right, what about a team that made it all the way to the semifinals, the Texas Longhorns?
It's Arch time. The waiting is over. It's Arch Manning time. That's what it is. We finally get to see him, as long as he's healthy, start to finish as the guy for Texas. Texas done a good job in getting back the last few years, right? They won the Big 12 inaugural season. They make it to the SEC championship game. You know, they won two playoff games where they beat Clemson. Then they beat Arizona State. And then they ended up losing to Ohio State, and they gave Ohio State a game. But always through that, it was, all right, you have Quinn Ewers. Let's get to Arch Manning. Now, it's Arch time.
All right, how about a team that surprised a lot of people this year with their successful season, and that is Arizona State?
Samter's fandom. Because Samter, when he was living out in Arizona, I guess was a big Sun Devils fan. I knew that about him. But I didn't really ever hear him talk that much about the Sun Devils until this miraculous season with Cam Scataboo and Kenny Dillingham and Sam Levitt. And then he became the biggest Sun Devil supporter. I'm just curious if next year if he'll be a big Sun Devil supporter if the team stinks. Because we know Samter, he likes to jump around from fan base to fan base a little bit. He's a fan whore. That's what he is. Right? He left the Jets and he's like, all right, I'm going to be a whore. And I wanted my teams to win. And I'm going to go root for the Chiefs. No, but all kidding aside, the three words are less here. All on Sam. So Cam Scataboo out. That was their identity. right? Now he's off to the NFL. I think Sam Leavitt could be a really good quarterback. When we talked to him, he had a lot of confidence, and he plays with a lot of moxie. And I don't think we've seen the best version of him yet, but now it's his team, so I think this is all on Sam.
All right, what about the team that won it all, Ohio State?
The next level, right? I was talking to Jeremiah Smith last night, and like as a freshman, you win a national championship. How do you top that? He said, well, we're going to win it all again next year. It's also beating Michigan too, right? The Michigan loss woke them up. They went on this great four-game run. They're national champions. But now is there a next level to the Ohio State program? I know that could sound crazy after winning a national championship, but Ryan Day is now considered a great college football coach, where 6-7 weeks ago, a lot of people thought, including myself, that he should have been fired because he wasn't meeting the Ohio State standard. The Ohio State standard: beat Michigan, win the Big Ten championship, and win the national championship. In most years, when you lose to Michigan and you don't win a Big Ten championship, the year's a failure. But they were able to get the ultimate redemption and the ultimate trump card by winning the national championship. Now is there the next level with this program where maybe they can get all three done in a season? But if you're already at the championship level, you win a championship again, and that's some pretty special stuff, obviously. So there you go with Ohio State.
All right, what about the team that won the ACC championship this year, and that is Clemson?
Back to contending? And what I mean by that is not just winning the ACC, but you have Cade Klubnik coming back. Can you find a way to get back to contending for a national championship? Because that standard for Clemson used to be, and it was remarkable what Dabo Swinney did there, win a national championship. We haven't had that feeling about Clemson in a while. It's one thing to win a conference championship. Now can you get back to contending to go win it all?
All right, they got all the way to the semifinals before losing to Notre Dame, and that is Penn State.
Same old crap. Until they find a way to get the job done when it actually matters. And no disrespect to Boise State. I think I'm the biggest Boise State advocate in the history of national radio. And no disrespect to SMU. But did Penn State win a big game this year? They lost to Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. They lost to Notre Dame in the semifinal. And they lost to Ohio State. So their three biggest games, LLL. It's like Oprah Winfrey at Christmas time. You get an L, you get an L, you get an L. For James Franklin. Andrew Al is coming back. I don't know. It's a good thing necessarily with how he played up against Notre Dame. Blew their team's opportunity to go to a national championship game. But it's the same old crap. Until I see otherwise, Penn State's going to go win their 10, 11 games a year. But when the games actually matter and when you have your big boy games, can James Franklin finally get the job done? That will have to wait and see.
All right. What about the team that lost last night? Notre Dame.
Regression or redemption? Because Notre Dame, in terms of redemption, you would do so by winning it all. But, like, if you get back to the national championship game or the semifinal, it shows that Notre Dame is really moving in the right direction, and this just wasn't one kind of magical run. But my question is, like, how much regression will there be? Because it's tough to get better. Yeah, you got to win it all. And it's more likely that you regress, but they still got Jeremiah Love coming back, and if he could be healthy, that could be massive. Yeah, you lose Xavier Watts. Yeah, you lose Riley Leonard. But I believe in Marcus Freeman. I'm just curious, is it more at the end of the year regression or is it redemption? And I'm curious where the satisfaction level is from the Notre Dame fan a year from now. Now it's at, I don't want to say an all-time high, but it's at a pretty high level with what they were able to do this year. Let's see if that continues next year.
All right, what about the team that came into the playoffs as the number one team before running into Ohio State, and that is the Oregon Ducks?
Contender or pretender? That's what it is. They looked like a national championship contender for the majority of the season. They were undefeated until they got into the postseason, and then they failed. So that's the way that I look at that right now. So give me the next team here, because Act just showed me something, and we may have some breaking news here, but continue.
All right, what about a team that was just outside of the playoffs this season, and that is South Carolina?
South Carolina. Do the unthinkable. Like, they did a nice job this year. You know, they were in some games early, couldn't get the job done. They got big wins late in the season. Now can you do the unthinkable, and can you win the SEC? That's the thing that I look at right there. All righty, keep it going.
All right, what about Boise State, who had the runner-up in the Heisman Trophy?
So in college basketball, it's one shining moment. Now it's Spencer's shining moment. Because last year was all Ashton Gentry. Spencer Danielson, though, is a really damn good coach. And now the question is, without Ashton Gentry, can Spencer Danielson show that? You know, he's been the coach there for a year and a half, won two conference championships, had the team in the playoff this year. It's pretty damn good. But now, if they continue to have success without Ashton Gentry, that is a reflection of the coach and Spencer Danielson.
All right, last one here, the Miami Hurricanes with a successful season, just missing the playoffs.
Beck's revenge tour? Like, Carson Beck was horrible this year. Horrible. And now he winds up at Miami, and there is some buzz, but there was also buzz when DJ Uiagalelei ended up transferring to Florida State, and that was a disaster. So will this be a revenge tour for Carson Beck? Alrighty, I'm not going to lie. So Ack showed me some breaking news, and it was like a little bit far away. So I saw the tweet and I saw the photo, but I couldn't read what it said. And all I did, and I paused there for a second, I saw the photo of Kevin O'Connell. And there's been some bizarre speculation about the future of Kevin O'Connell. So when Ack shows me that, I'm like startled here. And I'm like, all right, let's just finish the segment, then I'll find the tweet and I'll read it. But I'm thinking to myself, Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings are parting ways. That's what I thought. It's actually the opposite. Not that I ever thought that was going to happen, but then when Ack showed me the tweet, that's what I thought it was. From Ian Rappaport, Rap Sheet. The Vikings and Coach of the Year candidate Kevin O'Connell have agreed to terms on a blockbuster multi-year extension that keeps him in Minnesota for years to come. Per Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero, the future is bright for the Vikings, and O'Connell is a big part of it. No surprise there. But what's going to happen at the quarterback position moving forward in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell obviously still being at the helm? We'll take a look at the Minnesota Vikings and react more to this news when we come on back after these short messages. Update time first. Here's Zach. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. This portion of the program is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. So the college football season's over. Bobby Carpenter is going to join us 15 minutes from now to recap the season that was for the national champion Ohio State Buckeyes. Brett McMurphy, though, is already getting me excited for the next college football season. And I think when I do radio, my favorite thing to talk about is college football. You know, up until 3 years ago, I would say it's the NFL. But especially when you do a national show and we have so many good affiliates in college areas, the passion and the buzz. Like last night being in the building, that environment, and I've been to, I got to say now, at least 10 Super Bowls, which is crazy. And I've had my team be in the Super Bowl too. But it's such a corporate crowd. Like you don't know who's rooting for who. Last night, I would say it was 65% Ohio State fans, 35% Notre Dame fans. Notre Dame fans were loud, though. Really loud. And they were outnumbered. But, geez, that environment was awesome. And it was like last year, Michigan-Washington, the environment was awesome. And that wasn't even, like, both these games weren't the greatest games that we've ever seen. But those environments were louder than anything I've ever heard at a Super Bowl. And there's just more passion there. But I'm sending a text out right now. And each and every opening weekend of the college football season, I go to our old pal Marash's house. And I'm writing this tweet right now, and I'm saying the countdown is on. And we usually do like a whole day of eating and drinking at Marash's house with his family and friends. So I just texted Maraz and the Bayou Bear. And we always do that the first college football weekend of the year. So Brett McMurphy just put this out there. 2025 season openers. And you know, could some of these games fall in week zero and could some fall in week one? I guess it's possible. But these are the openers for the 2025 season. Texas at Ohio State, Notre Dame at Miami, LSU at Clemson, the Battle of Death Valley, Iowa State at Kansas State in Dublin, Alabama at Florida State. Oh, that's, you want to talk about a week one game? Norvell, DeBoer, the loser of that game. I would not want to be the loser of that game. Syracuse against Tennessee in Atlanta. I will never call it Hotlanta again, by the way, because it was freezing the other day. Freezing. Like, just a different cold. And I've experienced it. I've been to Buffalo, for crying out loud. So you have Syracuse and Tennessee in Atlanta. Bill Belichick's debut is up against TCU. You have Auburn at Baylor, Utah at UCLA, which could be the final season for Coach Winningham. And you get South Carolina versus Virginia Tech, also in Atlanta. That's a monster, monster opening slate of games when you just look at it, whether they're week zero or week one for those teams' openers. Also, another thought with college football, a lot of pressure on the SEC heading into next year. That actually could be the biggest, outside of Arch Manning, I would say, and you have Arch Manning, Belichick at UNC, post Shador and Travis Life for Coach Prime. If you're looking at top five storylines, those are three of them. I would then say another one, and it could be the biggest. What is the SEC going to do this upcoming year? Because for SEC, this used to be your sport. You dominated this sport. Yeah, other years, right? Other conferences could win it all. But this is usually your sport. And now with NIL and the transfer portal, Big Ten and SEC, not only on the same playing field. Who won the championship last year? Michigan. What conference are they playing? Big Ten. Who won the conference? Who won the national championship this year? Ohio State. What conference are they playing? Big Ten. Now let's see if the SEC can reclaim their throne. And this is the first time there's been, you know, in a while, some legitimate feeling of vulnerability where you can make the case that the Big Ten's a better conference than the SEC. I think they're right there. But when you're right there and you have to have a tiebreaker, well, the last two national champions reside in the Big Ten. All right, so Kevin O'Connell has agreed to a big extension, a lucrative extension with the Minnesota Vikings. How many coaches in the NFL would you take over Kevin O'Connell? I think my answer may surprise you. I like O'Connell a lot. I got to go Sirianni. I would have never thought I would have said that about 2 months ago, but Sirianni has been to the Super Bowl, and after this weekend could be to another Super Bowl. Dan Quinn, no. Cowboys don't have a coach. Giants, Brian Daboll, no. NFC West, Sean McVay, yes. I would take him over Kevin O'Connell. McDonald too early. Gannon, no. I would still say Shanahan. Lions, I would take Dan Campbell. Ooh, Matt LaFleur. Ooh, that's tough. That's the toughest one. I think I'm going to lean LaFleur. Just because I really hate this answer. I wanted to say O'Connell. You know what? The Vikings beat the Packers twice. So I'm going to say O'Connell. But Love, like, does not have a lot around him. So right now, I have Sirianni, I have McVay and Shanahan and Campbell. So that's four. I'll give the slight edge to O'Connell. But I could change my mind on that coming up in about 3 seconds. Ben Johnson, haven't seen enough yet. Todd Bowles, no. Raheem Morris, definitely no. Dave Canales, nice year, but stop it. Saints don't have a coach. So four coaches in the NFC. I would take over O'Connell. AFC. D'Amico Ryans, no, but close. Steichen, no. Jaguars don't have a coach. Callahan with Tennessee, no. Stefanski's really damn good. Two-time Coach of the Year Award winner, but I'd rather have O'Connell. Zach Taylor, no. You know what? Tomlin and Harbaugh? Legacy-wise, yeah, better legacy than Kevin O'Connell. And I know O'Connell hasn't had any postseason success, but I've been more impressed with O'Connell recently than Harbaugh. Talk about John Harbaugh. And, you know, if Tomlin keeps on winning without a quarterback, well, you just saw O'Connell have a better season really without a great quarterback. So I would say no and no with John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin. Raiders don't have a coach. I'd rather have Sean Payton than Kevin O'Connell. I'd rather have Jim Harbaugh than Kevin O'Connell. I'd rather have Andy Reid than Kevin O'Connell. So that's seven right there. Patriots, ooh, Vrabel. I give the slight edge to O'Connell right now. Right, let's see what Vrabel does with the Pats. Jets don't have a coach. I'll probably get Aaron Glenn. Mike McDaniel, no. McDermott's a fascinating one. You know, I'm going to say McDermott because I think right now I think the Bills are going to beat the Chiefs this weekend. But let me see where we're at after that. So those are eight coaches right there. Now, you could argue a few of them, but it's wild. Like, we all perceive Kevin O'Connell to be this great coach. So do I. And if you throw Harbaugh and Tomlin also in there, that would be out of the top 10. Now you get a few discrepancies, but I think he's somewhere in that realm of 6 to 10, I would say is fair. He's got to be on any list that you put there, 6 to 10 in terms of, you know, one of the top 10 coaches in the NFL. Coming on back, Bobby Carpenter joins us next.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam. I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.